Each one of us has within us a feeling, a drive, an inner motivation to move higher, to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that movement, in a certain respect, that movement of elevation we could call Aliyah. Within that dream of Aliyah, each one of us growing higher and coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Aliyah on a practical, on a practical level, on the thought process of someone picking themselves up and taking that Lech Lecha journey to move to the land of Israel, which today is the blessing of moving to the state of Israel. And Aliyah is an incredible dream. For many in this room, it's a dream that's becoming a reality, that may become a reality. For some of us, our children or family members or friends are making this into a reality. Tonight we're going to reflect on this ideal for those of us who are not yet living in Israel, and looking at a particular model, both as a way of navigating the question of Aliyah, but also as something to aspire to. And so we're going to walk in the footsteps of a great man. So the title of our talk this evening is The Aliyah of the Ramban. Nachmanides, Rav Moshe ben Nachman. And our hope is that by the end of this journey, even if we won't be practically sitting somewhere in Yerushalayim or in Akko or anywhere else in the land of Israel, it'll bring us a little bit closer to have our own personal Aliyah. Our neshamas will go a little bit higher, but also we'll have a greater appreciation for what the transformation of Aliyah is. And in that way, we'll all keep that drive and that dream alive for ourselves. So we're going to begin at the end, in 1264, when the Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, arrives at long last in the land of Israel. On the 9th of Elul, in 5027, I should use the Hebrew term, the Ramban arrives in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. And in a certain respect, this is the culmination of, or the apex of the life work and the journey of this great rabbinic figure. Here he is. The Ramban was born, let's say he was 1195, maybe some say he was 1194, it's hard to know. Let's say he was born in 1195. Here he is, after having accomplished so much in his life, he stands on the hallowed ground of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and he's faced with this conflicting set of emotions. And that's what we're going to unpack in a little bit. So to do that, we need to step back. You know, where's the Ramban coming from that brings him to this point in Yerushalayim? What is it that precipitated his move, his Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? So the Ramban was born in Girona, which is a small city in the northern edge of Spain, not far from Provence. The Ramban was a student of some very prominent Talmidei Chachamim, rabbinic scholars, in a unique place, in a unique juncture in the history of the development of Halacha and Parshanut and Gemara study, which is not for tonight, so we're going to leave that. The Ramban himself had a family with two sons and a daughter. He not only was a prestigious rabbinic scholar, he was also a poet. He was also a scientist. He was a physician. He was a very unusually broad person. He was also a Kabbalist, which, as many of you know, it's sometimes easy to confuse, but it's not a good idea to confuse Maimonides with Nachmanides. Not the same person, although they have a lot of discussions, so to speak, between each other, although they never met. But Nachmanides is arguably one of the most significant and prominent Rishonim of the 13th century. His individual personal contributions are going to shape the trajectory of Spanish Jews, but then by extension, all of his Talmidim and their Talmidim and the rest of the world of Torah learning. So his immediate Talmidim, whether that's Rav Shlomo ben Aderet, the Rashba, and then further Talmidim, later, like the Rabbeinu Nisim or the Ritva, Rabbeinu Yom Tov of Sevili. These people are all transformed by the world and the learning of the Ramban. The Ramban is also a spokesman for the Jewish community. He is involved in a major controversy, a terrible stain on Jewish history, of the controversy surrounding the Rambam and ultimately the burning of the Rambam's works, which is a very serious controversy into which the Ramban tried to bring people together. But this trajectory of his life, being a leader and a scholar and a teacher and a spokesman, ultimately leads him on July 20th of 1263 in front of King James of Aragon, where he begins a disputation with an apostate by the name of Pablo Christiani. And here the Ramban has to defend the Jewish faith, which was not uncommon in Christian territories, against an apostate who had claims against the Jewish people, specifically that there were proofs from the Talmud and from the Torah that the Messiah had already come, which obviously is not the Messiah that we're waiting for, but is somebody else's Messiah from several centuries earlier. The Ramban appears in this disputation. The Ramban is victorious. He then gives a drasha afterwards, and then he writes the description, I guess you can call it, the summary of what took place, what we call the Sefer of Vikuach, the Vikuach of the Ramban. So this brings us now to the threshold of the Ramban's Aliyah. And so on the one hand, you might say, and scholars will argue, that what precipitated the Ramban's Aliyah at this trajectory of his life and his career was the backlash against the Sefer HaVikuach. Because the Ramban was fortunate to escape the disputation unscathed, unharmed. But then to write it down and to publish this account of having vanquished Pablo Christiani, that did not ingratiate himself to the local Christian authorities, if you could just imagine. So perhaps one reason, if you were to ask the Ramban, if you were to interview him and say, "Hey, Ligar Rebbe, what caused you to go on Aliyah?" He would say, "Look, what choice did I have? I had to leave the country. I had to flee under persecution." That's one suggestion. And that's probably true to a certain extent. But there is another perspective, not just the political and historical circumstances. There is a religious, Avodas Hashem, component of the Ramban's life and his outlook that certainly contributed to this movement. Because perhaps, you know, if the Ramban wanted to emigrate somewhere, maybe he could have gone to Italy. He could have gone to Germany. He could have gone to, it depends on what day it was, whether Jews were expelled from a particular city or they were allowed to live there. But he didn't have to travel to Israel. But as we will see, there is a strong motivation for the Ramban within, not from without, that draws him toward Eretz Yisrael. First of all, there's a halachic motivation. So if you look in your source packets, if you tackle the packet in front of you, page 1, you will find the Ramban's comments at the end of the section of Mitzvah Saseh of the Ramban called the Shichichas Ha'esin L'das HaRamban. So Maimonides, Rambam, who dies in 1204, in his introduction to his major work, the Mishneh Torah, where he includes all of the halachic tradition, the Rambam says, all you need in life are two books, a Tanakh and my Mishneh Torah, and you'll know everything you need to know about Judaism. So as an introduction to that work, the Rambam says, I'm going to teach you all the mitzvahs. Well, I have to identify what they are. So he enumerates each of the 613 mitzvahs. Okay, so somebody took this work and passed it along to Ramban, Nachmanides, and he reviews it and he says, interesting. But I'm not so convinced. Actually, the Ramban says, there are several mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. Now, the Rambam didn't forget them. He omitted them consciously. But the Rambam quoted certain mitzvos that the Ramban thinks that he omitted, and vice versa, the Rambam thinks that the Rambam included things which were either duplicates or things that should not be counted as separate mitzvos. So what is the fourth of the mitzvos that the Ramban, if you look here on the page number 1, mitzvah revius, the fourth mitzvah that the Ramban claims that the Rambam forgot? shenitzdavinu, that we were commanded, loreshes ha'aretz asher nasan hakel yisbarach v'yis'al alav osenu la'avram yitzchak l'yakov, that we were commanded to inherit, to settle, to dwell in the land which was given to our forefathers Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And crucially, the Ramban says in the second line, "V'lona azvena biyadzu loseinu mina umos olishmama." We should not allow it to lie in desolation or at the hands of any other sovereign. Says the Ramban, this is a mitzvah asay de'oraisa, and he expands on it at great length. We'll just take 2 moments. Take a look on the next page. 2 underlines here. The Ramban says, based on this idea, it is incumbent upon us, nitztavinu anachnu, in the underline at the top, lavo ba'aretz, to come to the land, the lichbo shamadinos, and to conquer the countries. It's not just enough to drive them out. We have to conquer them, and then ulahoshiv ba'shivtenu, to settle it ourselves. We have to take an active role. And then he expands on it. Take a look at the next set of underlines. Va'omrani, says the Ramban, I say, ki ha-mitzvah she'achachamim afligin ba, this mitzvah that the rabbis are so effusive of, about, in their praise, v'hidiras Eretz Yisrael, and that is living in Eretz Yisrael, ad she'amru, next underline, she'kol ha-yotzim imena, if you leave Israel, that is ki'ilu, it's so to speak, it's if it were, it's dar b'chutz l'aretz yehi be'inecha kovid avodah zarah. It's as if a person were an idol worshiper. And others, v'zulas ze haflogos gedolos, other almost exaggerations, embellishments. Sh'amar bo ha'kol humi mitzvahs aseh hazeh. It all comes from this mitzvahs aseh, this positive commandment. Shenetz davinu l'areshes ha'aretz l'shaves ba. And therefore the Ramban says, now look in the double underline. Im Cain, if so, he mitzvahs asay ledoros. It is a commandment for generations. And in that respect, says the Ramban, mischayev kol yachid mimenu va'afilu bizman golos kayadu abitam. Even today, in 1263, it is incumbent upon us to move to the land of Israel and fulfill this biblical commandment. This is the Ramban's opinion. So it's a mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah of the 613, and not just a mitzvah of the 613, it's a mitzvah, the Ramban says, about which the Chachamim were maflig. They went on and on with this kind of language to emphasize to us how central this mitzvah is. So there is a halachic component of this motivation, and then there is, you could say, even a hashkafic component. Because you know the Ramban, when he was in Spain and then concluded and edited when he made it to the land of Israel, the Ramban wrote a commentary on the Chumash, in addition to his commentary on the Talmud and his defense of the Rif and many other poems and drushes. The Ramban writes, and you look on page 3, the Ramban writes a commentary on the Chumash. And this comment appears in Parshas Achremos in the context of the laws of forbidden relationships. And at the conclusion of this description, the Torah says, "V'lo saki ha'aretz eschem." We should not, God forbid, fall into this trap of immoral behavior, because if we would, then the land would, so to speak, vomit us out. "V'lo saki ha'aretz," which is a very visceral type of reaction. That's the Torah is giving you a very graphic image of what it means to be spat out from the land of Israel. So Ramban has a very basic and simple question. He says, I don't understand. Interpersonal relationships and the shmirah, the observance of the kedusha, of the sanctity of a Jewish person, that exists wherever we go. So in what way does this mitzvah of personal interactions with other people and the other gender, what does that have to do with the land of Israel? And the Ramban says, I'll tell you why. Because, take a look on the first underline in source 3, page 3. V'hine, Hashem anichbad yisbarach elokeo elokim b'chol ha'olam ve'elokei Eretz Yisrael, shehi nachalas Hashem. Yes, God is the Lord of all powers, of Elohim, which means power, all authority, all capability. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Sof. And that's across the board. But then there is a unique component of godliness, and that is a unique aspect of Eretz Yisrael that is under the direct, immediate supervision only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because there are these other forces, angels, malachim, whatever we call them, sarim, that govern various other lands all around the globe, but not Eretz Yisrael. There is no intermediary between HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself and the supervision that takes place in the land of Israel. And therefore, he says, next underline, V'losaki haaretz eschem, Eretz Yisrael eina kishar aratzos. It's not like another land. Eina mekayemes over avera. It has such an infusion, a character of spirituality, that the land simply cannot bear, it can't tolerate the presence of averos. And it's not the same thing for, imagine you have a child who's hanging around, is playing in the dirt, fooling around outside of a palace. So obviously it's not good for this child to be playing around unsupervised in the street outside of a palace, right? That's not a good idea. That's not the way we want to raise this child. But it's one thing for that child to be outside. It's another thing for that child to be in the palace and throwing dirt and playing with mud and making a huge mess. You want to make a mess outside? It's a halbitzara. But to make a mess inside the palace, there's no point. L'havdil, if you go to, you go to Washington and you have somebody who's making a mess on the lawn 2 blocks from the Capitol building, the Capitol Police will not be happy about you. But they won't be on you as quick as if you start making a mess in the rotunda. Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban, it's not like every other land. The land itself is so suffused with Kedusha that it simply will not tolerate this kind of spiritual malfeasance. Go to the last underlines on the right column. From this issue, the Sifri says a person, God forbid, would be driven out quickly. Not a lot of patience. Af al pi, says the Ramban, based on this, an amazing idea. Af al pi shani megala eschem in haaretz l'chutz haaretz. Even though I am expelling you because of your shortcomings from the land of Israel to chutz laaretz, you have to keep something in mind. And this is the flip side of the not doing averos. Says the Ramban, you should still, based on the Sifri, heyu mitzuyonim mitzvos, you should still observe mitzvos. So wait a second. Until now, the Ramban was saying, I understand why in the land of Israel, the land is sensitive and it will not tolerate idol worshippers and violators. But now the Ramban is saying something different. He's saying, not only that, you might have thought that once you leave Israel, you actually don't have to observe mitzvahs at all. Very interesting. Tefillin, that's not a mitzvah which is tied to the land of Israel. Shabbos, keeping kosher. But the Ramban is starting to explain to us, which is what he's about to explain on the next column in the underline, Ki ikar kol hamitzvos liyoshvin be'eretz Hashem. The main purpose of mitzvos, the reason mitzvos were given was primarily, it was given for the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Not for us. So much so that the Ramban quotes from this medrash, that previous, at the end of that, he says, Shekisha tachzari, top line, lo hiu alecha kachadashim. The reason we observe mitzvahs today is just to keep in good practice. It's a strange thing. I don't know why we have to do this, but there's something called exercise. It's the machla of being human. You have to do exercise. And the amazing thing about exercise is that you have to maintain that exercise. Because what happens if you stop doing exercise for a few months? You fall back out of shape. It gets much worse. So Lahavdil, the Ramban says, we're going to do exercise of doing mitzvahs and chutz laaretz to keep us going, just so that we'll have our mitzvah muscles ready to go, in shape, when we get back to fulfill the mitzvahs in the land of Israel, to where they are supposed to be fulfilled. So now if somebody were to ask the Ramban, why would he say he's making Aliyah? So he would say, well, I'm making Aliyah, of course, for practical considerations, because I'm being persecuted. But of course I'm making Aliyah for spiritual motivations, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, and to be able to live in the place which is the Nachalas Hashem. All fine and very good. And you know where this expresses itself? All together, beautifully, in a handwritten piece from the Ramban, which you see on the next page, on page 4, which is a paragraph that the Ramban writes about. It's a quasi-prayer for the land of Israel. Very beautiful, right? This is from a manuscript, two different manuscripts. The Ramban writes, Ono Hashem, Zechorna, Ha'ir, you should remember the city, that you said that your eyes will be there all the days, that is Yerushalayim. There you commanded there was going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and I'm crying, second paragraph, says the Ramban, now it is destroyed and mangled. And the third paragraph, he says, I am mourning this. Wake up, says the Ramban, Uri, Uri, the bottom page, 430. This comes from this is a Xerox, part of an article we'll mention in a minute, called Jerusalem in Nachmanides' Religious Thought, the Evolution of the Prayer Over the Ruins of Jerusalem. And the Ramban says that on page five, at the last paragraph, he says, Edim ne'amonim, we know that God will not forsake Israel forever. So here you have, in story form, in essay form, the Ramban articulating his longing and his appreciation for the land of Israel. So far, so fine. Okay, very beautiful. Till now, everybody's still, we're up, right? But here is the incredible, amazing, fantastic twist. If you were to go to look in most editions in Sfarim for this prayer, you will not find it. If you open Rabbi Shevel's edition of the Kisvei HaRamban, you will find a copy of the Tefillah al Charvus Yerushalayim, but it does not look like this. What happened? Why is it that this edition is so different than the editions that we all have? If you look, the next five pages of the packet is the Shevel edition, which comes from a Ksav Yad from Rome and one from Lisbon. Do you notice how long this is? This is very extensive. Just look at the pages. What happened? You just had a little tefillah which became a huge, huge long essay. You know what happened? The Ramban made Aliyah. What was likely a dream, an initial thought, the basic rudimentary framework of a text, becomes a personal, transformed prayer. That's what's incredible. And that's what's developed in this interesting article. That this first Ksav Yad was the Ramban's first formulation of the prayer when he lived in Spain. And he's saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm thinking about the land of Israel, I'm thinking about Eretz Yisrael, about Yerushalayim. But this full edition, this is what he writes once he got to Israel. And here's where we'll find the two takeaways from the Ramban's Aliyah, on a practical model level and on an aspirational level. Let's go to page 8, where one of the differences between these two texts is the long section which is bracketed here, which begins with the verse, Ani Hagever Ro'oni. So the Ramban, as the masterful poet he is paraphrasing from a pasuk in Eicha. But what is he saying? He's saying, I went on a journey. This is personal. I saw with my own eyes, when I got to Yerushalayim, what the Mongols had done here in 1260. And then he tells you, this is what it means to make Aliyah. It's not easy. Galisi me'al shulchani, hirchakti ohe v'rea. I left my family table. I left my friends. Now, we don't usually think of the Ramban as like, he's one of our spiritual superheroes. We don't think of the Ramban as having friends. But he says, look, when I went on Aliyah, I had to give up my friends. I don't think they played canasta. His chevra. Ki ara hamasa meistareya. It was a long journey to get here. Hayisi nizir achim b'midbar malon urchim. I'm lonely. I became alone out here. Azavti es basi. I had to leave my house. Natashti es nachalasi. I left my inheritance. He writes a letter, but it's in Rabbi Shavel's collected. He has writes a letter to his son Nachman. What it must have been like to leave his children. That must have been very hard. Over the age of 60, to leave his grown children, grandchildren, who knows what. You know, there's no more Hanukkah parties. He says, I left my family. There I left my soul. A part of me was left in Spain, says the Ramban. And this is amazing. Right? The Ramban is a realist. He's not saying, oh, you know, now that I'm in Israel, it's easy, everything is fine, there were no sacrifices. The Ramban says these were painful sacrifices, real, human, personal sacrifices. My children, the little kids, you can imagine the Ramban, you know, playing with his grandchildren on his lap when they come for a Shabbos meal. Al birkai, on my knees, heim reishis darki. Heim li haneovim vanimim. They're my beloved, my precious. V'ayu einai v'libi sham kol hayomim. My eyes and my heart were there all the days. Ukfor ha-chaverim. What about all my friends? My social group. V'nokel zos v'kol yakor ros o'eini lahabzos. Top of the next column. Yet the Ramban says, I have a measure of chizuk. Tov li yom b'chatzerecha. And yet it is good. One day in your courtyard, God, to be with you here in Israel. To visit the destroyed ruins of your house. He says, it was hard, but it's meaningful. So the first takeaway I learned from this, which is remarkable, is that the Ramban was an Aliyah realist. He was a realist in dealing and being open with the challenges and the sacrifices that it took to make Aliyah. And so many of us who deal with these kinds of cheshbonos, we can identify with that and with the sacrifice and the difficulty. And yet, as part of that decision, he says, I don't regret it. But that not regretting it doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult. That's one piece of the takeaway. That's a model. That we look to the Ramban and the people who we know make Aliyah, and we admire them for that incredibly heroic decision to make that sacrifice. For the ability of Yom B'chatzerecha to be in the land of Israel. And in this case, to be in Yerushalayim. That's one side. But then there's another side. And go back just to the beginning and source 6. Page 6, which is the beginning of the Tefillah Al Chorvas Yerushalayim. Where here the Ramban, and if you compare the two texts, you'll notice that the previous manuscript on page 4 began, Ana Hashem Zechor No Ha'ir, just God, remember the land. But that's not how the Ramban starts the new prayer. How does he start the new prayer? Our feet are standing here at the gateway, at the gates of Yerushalayim. Beis Elokim v'shar ha-shamayim, paraphrasing the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. Yerushalayim ha-benuya ir shechubra lo yachtov im osa sheba aliyah. The Jerusalem of this terrestrial world opposite the heavenly Jerusalem. Shesham alu shivatim. Shmeimenu hushtasa olam. 9, number 4, from there the world was created. Number 5, shesham har ha-moria. Number 9, sham aron ha-bris. And he goes on and on to describe the meaning and the significance of this land. It's one thing to appreciate Eretz Yisrael and its Kedusha and all of its milos from afar, but it's another thing to appreciate it from within. The whole tenor of this tefillah is suffused with a personal transformation that you can see in the writing. The poetry is more complex. It's more rich. But the feeling is so much deeper. Yes, the first one was broken and was heartfelt. But now, the Ramban is showing us, when you compare these side by side, that when a person goes on Aliyah, when they have the opportunity to really be in Eretz Yisrael, like the Ramban did for the last 3 years of his life, from 1264 till 1267, there's some discussion exactly when he died, it changes his whole being. It's one thing to write an academic din that it's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's another thing to actually have that transformational experience. And so as you go through the lines, you feel how the Ramban and his own relationship to Eretz Yisrael has been taken to another level. And so to me, this is the takeaway of the Ramban's journey of Aliyah. Right? What brought the Ramban to Eretz Yisrael were the political circumstances and the religious motivations. But through his journey and this tefillah on Chorvas Yerushalayim, and I gave you the whole thing in the Xerox so you can go through on your own and appreciate the nuance and the beauty and the depth of it, we learn what the Ramban is teaching us with this expanded version. One is that Aliyah is personal, and it has a cost and a consequence, and it's not so easy. But the other is that it's not just personal and practical, it is transformational. That a person who has the zchus and the ability and the gift and the opportunity to go on Aliyah, when a person goes there, their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, with the land, is totally transformed. As is evident from the incredibly complex and beautiful and expanded version of how the Ramban views Eretz Yisrael. So for those of us who are not there, we are thinking both on the practical level of the model of, okay, what is it going to take, and is it something that we can take on? But the other aspect is for what we can dream for, which is for those of us who will at some point have that opportunity, what the Ramban is hinting to us is that what awaits us is really a transformational religious experience. Yes, we're going to daven for Eretz Yisrael from here. We're going to connect with, identify with, support the state of Israel from here. But it's not comparable to being there. Let's look at the end and let's conclude. Go to page 10. Here is the conclusion that we do not see in the first edition. The first edition, as you saw on page 5, it just closes. We know that the Ribono Shel Olam will take us back. But here, it's more. Here it starts, go down, halfway down the line. Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael, he says, Avinu Avarachaman, we know that you'll take us back. Lo Yosam Yisrael V'lo Alman, we are not orphans. Ki Rachamecha Aleim B'mekom B'chol Eisus Man. You will have compassion on all of us. U Beis Avdecha Zeh Moshe Ben Nachman. and the house of your servant Ramban. I don't think he called himself Ramban, right? Moshe ben Nachman, and you saw on the front cover his seal, the front cover of your packet. Habol liros yircho mikdashcha b'chubanon. I, says the Ramban, I came here to see it. I tore my begadim. He tore them twice, he mentions. Ubekar bigdo me'ilum bochum mesabel. I am mesabel. I am mourning. Sheyizke v'yira dvircha v'echalecha. Now I'm experiencing it personally. Einenu serenu Yerushalayim navashana. We want to see the redemption of Israel. Shenem, our last four lines. Ubara Hashem al kol machon har tzion val mikorea anan yomam va'ashan val kol kavod chupa. What do we want to say? We want to say that the Rebbe Shalom has come back to Leshchinas Uzcha Beis Mikdashich, and it will not be cut off. V'ze'avtecha Yeshiv B'Sisron, and I, the Ramban, will have the benefit of personally Uvesel Shaka Yislonan. Being in Israel means I have the ability to stand and live and be in the shade and the shadow of Hashem Yisbarach Himself. And so how does he conclude? Baruch atah Hashem shomea tfila, omein v'omein sela v'adzman. Now it concludes with a bracha. The first version is a concept, it's an essay. It's a tfila, but it's a tfila merachok. But when the Ramban comes to Eretz Yisrael, now it takes on a whole new meaning. Now it is a personal, transformational, religious experience with his name on it, with his address, with his feelings, with his torn clothing. And that concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefila. Each one of us, whether we arrive in Eretz Yisrael and Aliyah at a young age, at a not so young age, if we ever get there, Echa Darba V'Echa Mitzapa L'Rosa, we can all be strengthened by this experience of the Ramban, who did go on Aliyah despite the hardships and had that incredible transformation of feeling the closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the heightened awareness and an appreciation for what Eretz Yisrael means on a huge cosmic spiritual level, but also to him as a person who's Mis'abel on Yerushalayim, Halavai, we can hold this up as a model and an aspiration for ourselves in our lives. Thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah.